It's going to be a short lesson about peace, because we talked about it in class, dealing with it with our text messaging and with videos that we've done all of last week. The class was about it. This lesson is about how to have peace, how to find peace in a hostile environment. It's based on Genesis chapter 26. And one of the reasons that it's such an important topic is, you know, it's amazing what we, when we dig into the word and we start asking questions like, why is this here? We start learning a lot. We start seeing that this word is like an onion. You peel off a layer, and then underneath it is another layer, and underneath that is another layer, and we can go deeper and deeper. We can get so much out of it. It has so many different application points. Even a simple chapter like what we read here in chapter Genesis chapter 26, it's just a story about Isaac who had land, and people were envious of him, and they forced him to move on to a different place. And he moved to two or three different places and finally settled down into an area, and God blessed him. Really simple story, but it gives us information and gives us ideas that we can use to hopefully find some ways to find peace in our own lives. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." And if we want to be children of God, that title, in those Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, there's several of the Beatitudes, the blessed ares. But when those people who are blessed, it doesn't, there's only one place where it says they'll be called something. They would have, at other places, it talks about things that they would receive, but there's only one place where it says that someone would be called something, and that is someone who's a peacemaker. And it's the second to last one of all the blessings that that Jesus pronounced upon people. The last one was those people who were persecuted. But peacemaking is one of the most challenging parts of life as a Christian that there can be. And the reason for that is because there's a balance here. It's using all of our wisdom. It's using all the things that God has taught us in how we deal with other people, in making the most of situations so that we can bring about peace. We have a tendency to go to two extremes in peacemaking, or what we think is peacemaking. One extreme would be the peacemaker, someone who just appeases, who goes along with everything everyone does, just doesn't mind being a doormat and being stepped on constantly and consistently, thinking that they're doing what is right and good because at least there's peace in the family, or at least there's peace in the world. And then there's the other extreme that decides, you know, if we're going to have peace, it's going to be because I just take control and I just step on everyone and I have my way, and therefore we have peace. And we've seen extremes in our world, in our families. We've seen extreme in politics. We've seen those extremes in society and in countries and so many different places. And maybe even within ourselves, we have these extremes that we fight. But that's not peacemaking. Neither one of those are. Peacemaking is when we can pull all of our resources and do the best that we can in helping other people find their place in your relationship with them and God. And so we all get along and have unity. That's where we are. So here are five steps in a hostile environment, how you can interact with people so that you can make sure you bring about peace. And like I said, this is going to be a very short lesson, but I want you to think about these things. The first one is to stay humble. Look in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 16. Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Now here's a situation where Isaac is very wealthy, very powerful, and he's living in an area, in a land where Abimelech and his people, the Philistines, are powerful people as well. And they come to Isaac and say, "You need to leave from us because you're more powerful than we are." Now, what happened is that Isaac then had to make a choice. He has the right to decide, okay, I'm going to stay here. In fact, if you look earlier in the scriptures, he was heading to Egypt, and God told him, "No, you're going to stop right here. You're going to plant yourself here, and you're going to, I will bless you here." And so he was told to stay, and that's when they came to him and said, you're too mighty for us. Need you to leave." And in fact, they started then doing things to make him leave. They started stopping up the wells, we talked about in class. And what did he do? He could easily have stood up and said, "I'm not going anywhere," and just bring it on. But he decided to stay humble. He decided to move on. And sometimes in our walk with God, we need to remember that our place is not superiority, that we need to have humility. Jesus is the perfect example of that. The other point, number two, is to avoid quarrels. Look in chapter 26 and verse 20 and 21. It says, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. They dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. So now we have a situation where the two different places, they're fighting and they're quarreling with him. And so it says in verse 22, he moved from there and dug another well. He went from place to place because these people were causing problems and causing quarrels. And he says to avoid quarrels. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have this directly stated from Paul, and this was directly to Timothy about the work of a preacher, but it certainly applies to all of us. He says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. So we need to understand that we avoid quarrels, and it's not just appeasing. It is for a purpose, that we are trying to keep the peace, trying to make the peace, and humility, understanding what really is important and what's not important. There's some things that are very important, that we should never avoid quarrels. If anyone stands up to you and says, you need to back down and stop talking about Jesus, that's something that you're going to have to quarrel over. That's where you take a stand. But if someone comes to you and tells you to stop doing something that is optional, that's not really that important, you have the ability to fight back, or you can avoid the quarrels altogether. And that's exactly what he chose to do. He's seeking peace. Although, probably if he had a fight, they probably would have won. Is it worth it? Third is to sacrifice for others. It says that he moved from there and dug another well in verse 22. And sometimes it's better to just give up, to give up the things, to give up the place where we are and move on because of peace. And there's nothing, that's not placating, that's not being a doormat, it's recognizing what's really important. As I said just a second ago, if there's some things that you need to stand up for, there's some things that are worth fighting for, but there are some things that are not. And so we need to learn to just sacrifice. And it's okay. In fact, this is taught all throughout the New Testament. Paul made a very big deal about this in the book of 1 Corinthians. He talked about, in fact, people who were going to court. He says, why are you going to court with one another? Remember that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't take your brethren to court. It's better to be wronged than to run the Lord's church's name through the mud, so to speak. So there's some things that we have to have as priority, and that means sometimes we're going to make sacrifices, but the blessings of God come on those people who are peacemakers. We also see that we can enjoy our blessings quietly. Look in verse 23, he went up there to Beersheba. You know, there's no reason for us to feel, to rub it in other people's faces, if we know that they have a problem with some things that we're doing or we have, there's no reason for us to show them off. We can have our blessings quietly, and this is what we see an example of. In fact, we see in verse 22 that he moved to this area, and he called it Rehoboth, and they had no quarrels there, but he even moved even further on, and this is where he received the blessings of God. So we can enjoy our blessings quietly. We don't have to be certainly noisy about them and look at me. I'm not suggesting that we put them aside and not be thankful, but be wise in how we treat one another. And then the fifth one here is to put your faith in the promises of God. This is what we have here. We see the Lord appeared to him in verse 24 in the same night and said, I am the Lord, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you, I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there, and he called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. So now we have peace, we have a place where they can have prosperity, and they can grow, and they can be away from the challenges and the problems of other people who are being envious. There's peace in the land. And the reason was because he decided to humble himself, to move away, to make sacrifices for the good of other people, let them have what they're going to have, and you move to a place where you can function without that interference. And that's not always the way it's going to work. It's not always simply walking away to a new place. I realize that. But here are principles that we can put into place, and having faith in God's promises is the number one thing that we can do. Probably should have been first one. That we need to learn to trust God, that He knows the situation, that if we will do things the way He has outlined for us, that we in humility walk with our God and trust Him to take care of the situations, He will take care of them for us. He will help us in the situations that we're in. He will help us bring peace to our own lives, to the lives of other people. That's one of the many, there's several lessons we can get from that chapter, but that's one of the great ones there. Peacemaking requires an active participation with us and God. A desire to avoid quarreling, a desire to give up our own things and our own places and our own possessions even sometimes for the sake of bringing unity and peace for other people. It doesn't mean that we never stand up for ourselves, but it does mean that we understand what's worth standing up for. So that's the lesson. I hope that it gives you some insight. If you have any questions, you want to talk to me about this, please let's talk about it, because it's very complicated. Bringing peace in family situations or being peace in hostile environments is very challenging. But with God's help, we can make it through. Jesus certainly understood what it meant to be a peacemaker. When Jesus came to this earth, He didn't come to a place that was open, receiving Him with open arms. He came to a hostile people. And if you look the way Jesus lived His life in humility, trusting in God, giving up the things that didn't matter, putting His faith in the promises of God, and moving from place to place, He exemplified what it means to be a peacemaker. If you need peace, go to the Master of Peace Himself. If you're not a Christian, please put the Lord Jesus on in baptism this morning. We can help you with that. We're here to help you. And if you are a Christian, please, if you have any need, let us know. Let us help. And please come as we stand and sing.